today being First Fruit Sunday, and for some of you that haven't been through a First Fruit Sunday, thinking, well, I'm not really sure what's going on here, maybe we'll find out as we go. What will happen is in a little while we'll be taking up that special offering. But I just want to talk a little bit about just a bit of context for what we're about to do. And that's about putting God first in our lives. And I'm sure that any Christian that you say is God first in your life, the first thing that I always say is, of course, God is first in my life. Some people are enthusiastic and respond, others will be insulted by the question. Of course, but how dare you infer that the Lord's not first in my life? But I want to talk about, really, about having God first and really walking closely with Him. I want to read Matthew 6:33, which you know this passage probably off by heart, many of you perhaps. I just want to read this to us this morning. It says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? This is Jesus speaking. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? We spoke about time today. By worrying, you can't add a single hour to your life. And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field, they grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire. Will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And in the trouble of tomorrow, we know that the Lord has overcome. Amen? We've been singing about that. So the point of putting the Lord first, seek His first kingdom. It talks about the needs that we have. And we all need food, we all need clothes, we need those things. But people make things and those things that we need make it the focus of their lives. And really what the Lord is saying, no, seek God first. Other things, yeah, the secondary. God will look after those, but you need to seek God first. We need to put Him first in our lives. And so that's really what we're going to be doing when we come around this time of this special offering. And as I said, it's an offering. And with any offering, an offering is between you and God. It's not compulsory. It's an offering between us and God, what we're doing here today. But really, it's us acknowledging, Lord, we're going to put You first in every area of my life. I just want to put this to the side. We'll see what it looks like on this screen. It was a bit funny this morning to see how it pops up here. That's looking a lot better. About putting God first. Now, I don't know if you can make sure you can see that. I just want to explain a few things here. And what I'm explaining now is obviously the context of what we're doing is in context of this first fruit offering. But really, this applies to every area of our life. It talks about our service of the Lord in serving. It talks about our acts of mercy and compassion and the things that we do. And really looking at balancing these things up. You see, this first thing we got up there is this principle. Now, the Word of God is full of spiritual principles, and those principles are important, or spiritual laws, if you want to use that terminology. And basically, it's the what. It tells us the things that really need to be done, really, the principles. It gives us, like gravity, there's principles that operate in the spiritual realm. And so in the context of giving, for example, in Luke 6:38, that's when the Lord said, He said, give, and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. And so there's a principle, give and it will be given to you. And also the words He said, with the measure you use, with that measure it will be measured to you. And so that's a principle there. There's a principle of tithing, Malachi 3:10, when He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house. And He said, test me in this. It's to see that I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour on so much blessing upon you that you cannot contain. And that's a spiritual principle. That's a law that's laid out like a principle in the scripture, a spiritual law. And by the way, that scripture there, Matthew 23:23, is where Jesus affirms tithing is a New Testament thing. Some people say, oh, that's all Old Testament. It's not. Jesus affirmed tithing, because when he told the Pharisees off, he said, you guys, you're tithing the mint, the dill, the cumin, every spice. You're very careful about that, but you're neglecting the more weighty things of the law, such as justice, mercy, and compassion. And Jesus says, now don't neglect the latter, which is justice, mercy, and compassion. Your heart needs to be right. But also don't neglect the former, so still tithe. So Jesus has affirmed tithing is certainly is something for now, but obviously it's about our heart, which I'll get on to. But there's some principles, and so there's some principles that apply. But you might meet someone that says, well, I've been tithing all the time, and yet I'm still struggling in my finances. Why is that? Why is that? If you know, Scripture says that, you know, that if I tithe, I'm faithful in that, then the windows of heaven are going to be open to me. And yet they're struggling. Well, because that's one thing. There's a couple of other things that we need to look at as well. And so there's the principle, there's these spiritual laws, but then obviously we have to do something about that. So there's our behaviour. And so, like as I said last week about vision, that we need to buy into that. There's some behaviour that needs to follow in to see that principle operating. And so if God's, you know, telling us to love one another, care for one another, well, that actually takes me doing something. I have to do an action. I have to participate in that to follow that law about loving one another. Even more above ourselves, and so we need to do that. So we have to participate in that. And sometimes, too, the way of our behaviour can actually express something, our motive, which I'll talk about, which is the key point here, our motive, but it can expose that. For example, that if you do something that people will know that you've done it, and it's all a big show, well, there's a problem. Your motive is wrong in that. And so the Scripture talks about giving in Matthew 6, when Jesus says that when you're giving, he says, don't make a big fanfare about it. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you openly. And so that there is a sense of not making a big show in our behaviour. But the bottom line, the important one here, is our heart. Our motive in what we do, and even what we're about to do here, our heart is really important, our motive, the why of what you're doing. And God is really interested in why you do stuff. The Pharisees didn't really care why you did it, as long as you did it. But we have a heart, and God actually worries about why. He's not just interested in our behavior. He's interested in the motive behind it. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And so we all think, oh, yes, but the Lord actually is looking in our heart. He wants to see, why did you do what you do? And some people think, well, I did it, didn't I? God's looking at why you did it. It's the why, the motive of our heart, and it means a lot to the Lord. And in fact, it's actually fundamental, really, what is in our heart. 1 Corinthians 4:5, it says, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And see, sometimes we think we can do a good thing, oh, well, I've done it, but we've done it with the wrong attitude or the wrong heart. It totally negates what we've done if our heart isn't right in it. God's interested in our heart. He's interested in a motive more than our behaviours. But if you have the right heart, then good behaviours will follow. But our heart is really what is interesting to God. And again, what we're about to do today, it's about our heart, our motive in it. And so just to pick up the next one there about just putting God's first, looking at these three areas. Now, if we're going to flow in the things of God and walk and fulfill everything that God wants us to do and to honour God with our life and to grow and honour him, we need to have all those three things operating. We need to have the principles of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know the principles of God. And that's really important that we do. And the other thing is that then you need to actually do them. But there's something more critical than that needs to an important critical agreement, ingredient, is that area of the heart. Because if you know the principle, say the principle is, you know, don't neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, the Scripture says, Hebrews 10:25. And so, you know, you've got to go along to church. And so that's the principle. And so I actually go along to church and I'm there. But when I'm there, I'm just passing the time, I'm just doing my little bit, I'm just doing what I can, or I'll go along, or I have to go to church, I'll go along to church. Then what is my response? And that's actually just under law and legalism. And I'm just under a bondage by doing that. A good thing, but there's a legalism, there's a law under that. Even as we're talking about giving, about tithing. And if you tithe, and well, I know the principle is that I've got, yep, I need to tithe. But I'm actually tithing that, but in my heart of doing that is gritting my teeth, saying, well, Lord, here's your money. Take your money, Lord. Here it is. Again, I'm under a legalism. I'm under a law there. There's no life in that. There's no joy in that. And there's no blessing in that. And that's why some people who don't have breakthroughs in areas is because they're doing the right thing, but they're doing it with the wrong heart. And therefore, there's no blessing. But in our heart is right. And that's what God is interested on. Scripture says when Samuel was anointing David, he said, look, don't consider his appearance, because man looks on the outside, but what does God look in? He looks in the heart. And at the end of the day, that is what God is on about, our heart. We're created for a relationship with him. We're created to be in that close relationship with him, and he wants us to do everything out of a pure motive under him, that we have the right heart, the right motives. And if we do have the right heart, and if we do something in faith, if I'm serving, so I can serve, and because it's the right thing to serve, you use your gifts, okay, I'm serving, and I'm actually doing that. But again, there's no life in that, because I'm not doing that with the right heart. So it becomes a chore, becomes a bondage, it becomes something that I just grip my teeth and do, because my heart isn't right in doing that. There's no joy in that when our heart isn't right. But if I've got those things together, this is the principle of Scripture. This is the principle that we've been taught by God. And I'm actually going to do all of that. And I'm doing that with the right heart. Then I'm going to have faith in there. There's grace, and I'm doing it because I'm out of the grace of God that's upon our life, just loving God and so grateful that that's my heart in wanting to serve, wanting to love, or be compassionate, or wanting to give. And that's where the blessing flows. And so our heart attitude is fundamental. And so and everything that we're doing. So when we're giving, even what we're doing today, our heart in giving is really, really important. And so what if we've got the principle? And the principle is, okay, yeah, let's say a meeting together, for example. And my heart is, oh yes, that's important. I know I've got to get to church. I know that's important, or whatever. But if I don't actually put that behaviour in place, what do I get? I feel guilty, don't I? Because I know that's what I should do, and my heart is, but I don't do it, then I'm going to feel guilty. Same with giving. If I know that's the principle, and but I don't actually do it, I'll end up feeling guilty. But God doesn't want us feeling guilty. He wants us to be free and liberated. So we want to have all those principles operating. Well, what if I'm actually doing something, but I'm not really doing it to the full. I'm sort of doing it in a halfway measure. And so, for example, looking at the idea of tithing. You know, some people think they're tithing, but they're not actually tithing. They just give a tip every now and again. And they're giving something, they're doing something that's good, and they love God, but they're not actually letting that principle operate, and then therefore that principle isn't operating. So these things all need to be flowing together. And the bottom line is, in anything that we do, and particularly what we're doing today, is that we have everything with the right motive. And so let's have a look at the wrong motive. James 4:3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with the wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so the heart there is just giving in it's in a wrong way. And so there's no blessing there, because the motive of giving. And some people do look at that, sitting on the bottom, they've got an investment screen with a scheme with a line through it. And some people do that. You watch some televangelists in America. They will teach you that if you're going to give this money, God's going to bless you. And it's almost like an investment scam, almost like an investment scam, really. And basically saying look, if I'm going to give this, God's going to multiply. And if the motive of me ever giving is that I'm going to get a return, then that means straight away my heart is wrong. I'm giving to God because I love him, because I want to honor him. It's an act of worship and lifting him up, praising his name. And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. If you want an investment scheme, go talk to a broker. Go see someone who can help you with investments. But that's not why we give. And it's not the big photo opportunity either. You always see millionaires who, they give money. In fact, I've seen, people that are multi-millionaires and have got more money than they ever know what to do with, and they make a big fuss because they're giving $1,000 when they probably could have given $1 million. But that's beside the point. Whatever they do, it's a big photo opportunity. And they'll make sure it's there, and they're there with a picture of a giant check that they're giving, and it's all out there. And some people try to impress others, but we're not trying to impress anyone. This is between our heart and us loving and honoring God. And the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. And we know the story there with Barnabas, first of all. He came and he was guided by the Lord, and he went before the apostles and he sold a house or property, some land, and he laid it down and put the money at the apostles' feet. And he just did that as an act of worship, just honoring God, no strings attached, just put it there. Now, sure, with Ananias and Sapphira, they would have looked at that and thought, gee whiz, you know, well, people actually thought he was pretty good. Yeah, that was really good, Barnabas. And thought, you know, we want people to think highly of us. We want people to honor us and to think we're pretty good as well. So that they sell some land, but what they do is that they keep some of it back for themselves. But they put on a show like they were doing, like Barnabas did, like they were giving it all, when in fact they only just bought a portion of it. And Peter says, he said, well, when you had that land, wasn't that your land? Yeah. Well, when you sold it, wasn't it your money? Yeah. Well, then why did you conspire against the Holy Spirit when you came in and you only gave a quarter of that? And you make a big show like you're giving all of that. And out of that, because of that, what happened to Ananias is pretty strong in Scripture. Ananias fell dead. 3 hours later, his wife comes and Peter says, look, you know, when you and your husband gave this money, was this the amount of money that you got for the property when you sold it? And he goes, oh, yes, 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 yes. And Sapphira, she dropped dead. And it says in Scripture, they all had a sense of awe. I tell you what, don't think there'd be pretty much a sense of awe. So you had one person drop dead, and then he said, the young man that carried out your husband are now going to carry you out. Because they were giving, and they probably might have given a lot of money. You sell a property, it's easy to make, but their heart in doing that was wrong. And God was not interested in a heart that is wrong. So we want to put God first. We want to have the right motive. 2 Corinthians 8:12, it says, for if the willingness is there, so it's not a begrudging thing, it's not, oh, I have to do this. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And so some will be able to give more than others, and some are able to do more than others because they have more and are able to do that. But it's about our heart. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And in 2 Corinthians 9:12, it says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And so, yeah, there are needs that are provided by the first fruits. There's a whole lot of things that we're able to do. The outreach that we want to do here in Sunbury Diggers Rest here, you know, we're able to do things that ordinarily that we'd not be able to do. It actually helps us to reach out and to do things, to get equipment, to do things that otherwise in our day-to-day meeting of operating expenses we can't do. But this actually helps us to do that. And it's an overflowing of thanks. So there's needs that are met, but ultimately it's from a heart that is overflowing to the Lord. And the story of the widow's mite, we know the story where people bring in their gifts to the temple, and there was these wealthy people coming, and they were putting in bucket loads of money into the temple treasury. And then this little old lady comes up, and Jesus is watching. It's interesting, it was interesting to me, Jesus actually watches what we give, and Jesus was watching. And Jesus watched as this little old lady came up, and she put in and like the smallest possible coin, which for us is like 5 cents. And she came in and she just put that in, and then Jesus said, you know what? She gave more than all of them. Because her heart was, Lord, I'm totally depending upon you. And she gave, that. Jesus said that's all she had. And certainly for us, as when we are giving here, even today, we're acknowledging and we're coming, we're saying, Lord, we depend upon you for everything. Lord, everything that we have is from you. Everything that we are from you. Our life is from you. As we bring this offering, Lord, we're acknowledging our dependency upon you. And we're just going to watch a little clip, and I might turn that air conditioner off. It's a little bit cold. Do you want to turn it off there? And we're just going to watch this little clip about giving first fruits.
Two men bring an offering to the Lord, one of the fruit of the ground, the other the firstborn of his flock. God accepts one and rejects the other. Why? Why? Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The word tells us clearly that the offering Abel brought was the firstborn of his flock. But it doesn't say that Cain brought the first fruits of his crops. It simply says, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. Cain harvested his crops and over time gathered enough to bring an offering. It was an offering on Cain's terms. God accepted Abel's offering because it was the first of his increase. Cain's offering was rejected because it wasn't the first of his. Giving the first to God requires faith. When a firstborn lamb is born in a flock, it's not possible to know how many more lambs that you might produce. But Abel gave his firstborn lamb in faith, whereas Cain made sure he had enough for himself before giving to God. Many of us treat God the same way as Cain, making sure we have enough money before we see if there's anything left for God. Even if we give from what's left over, God can't accept the offering because it's not the first fruit. Other stories emphasize this truth. In the account of the fall of Jericho, the Lord gave strict instructions that the Israelites were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. All of it belonged to him, the Lord declared. Jericho belonged to the Lord because it was the first city conquered in the promised land. It was the first fruits. God withheld his blessing from Israel when one man took some of the spoils for himself. The first belongs to God. There was much more at stake than money when Abraham offered his firstborn son Isaac. When God asked for his son, Abraham didn't wait to have 10 sons before giving Isaac. He gave the first when he only had one to give. Abraham had only the promise of having more sons. It took faith for Abraham to offer Isaac, faith that God respected and blessed. And God did the same for us. He gave his first in the form of his son, his first and only begotten son, who was given to us while we were still sinners. God gave Jesus in faith that we might one day give our lives to him. The gift of his son came before the blessing of our repentance and salvation. We give our first fruits in much the same way. Before we see the blessing of God, we give it in faith. Giving the first fruits of our income says to God, I recognize you first. I am putting you first in my life. And I trust you to take care of the rest.
Okay. All right, so just in a moment, we're going to take up that first fruit offering. And look, this is a very sacred time, a very important time as we really consecrate ourselves but it's an offering, what we're taking today. We won't be taking a separate tithes and offerings, so that this can be all taken up at the same time. But what we'll be doing is we'll just be having that basket. Josh, you want to just grab that basket over there and bring it with the chair over here. And what the idea is that we come forward as a family or on your own, you come forward and stand there. Now, the important thing about it is our heart. It's what's in our heart. You may say, look, oh, I wasn't prepared to give an offering today. I didn't understand. I didn't know. That's fine. It's not. It's an offering. And so offerings are just that. It's between us and God. Tithing is a scriptural principle that we follow. Yes, but not out of legalism, but out of our heart response to him. This is an offering. But what we do is encourage everyone to come and just take a moment and pray. Pray for yourself, for God's plan and purposes for this year, all that God has ahead. Pray for your family, particularly if you've got any family members that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be praying for them. Pray for them. Pray that all of God's blessing, all of God's plans and purposes will be fulfilled. And certainly as a church family, and saying, Lord, let all your purposes be fulfilled. Let all of those things come into fruition. So what we're going to do is we're going to just take a moment. I'm going to just lead us in prayer, and then we can come out. Now, for some of us who are obviously there this morning that are here, that's okay. I'd still like you just to come and just take a moment just to pray and just seal. You might have prayed something this morning. You may want to pray something different today. You might want to pray for your grandkids, for them particularly, or other family members. And so we'll come forward and we'll just put that there. But we want everyone just to come and just to take a moment, stand there, and you just pause and pray and come together as a family. And so there's envelopes for those who wanted those. If you, anyone wants one of those now, I've got one here. Or there's a little card if you give online. A lot of people just give stuff online, say, look, I've given online. I'm going to give it online, or I'm going to bring it in the next few weeks, and you might want to put what you're going to be giving along there. Or you may not feel, look, this is an offering. Oh, I don't feel to be in this offering, that's fine. Just so that you're not coming out empty-handed, you can just put that little bit of slip in there. So we'll just come. If you've already given this morning, that's fine. You can just come and stand there and pray. But let's just pray together. Father, we just know, Lord, that your heart is for us. And Lord, this first fruit offering, Lord, it's just a symbol of our overflowing gratitude and our love for you. And Father, that you've given us everything. You've given us Jesus Christ. And Lord, really, what can we give you? But Lord, we give you our heart. Lord, we give you our life, Lord. And really, this we talked about time earlier. As we give, Lord, it really is a symbol of our life, Lord, because it takes time to earn money, Lord, and as we give unto you. Lord, we want to do this, Lord, just to honor you, Lord, out of love, out of sense of your wonderful grace, Lord, of honoring you, Lord, and an overwhelming sense of gratitude. And Father, I just pray, Lord, as people come this day, that they take that moment just to stand and to pause and to pray. Lord, for all that is ahead, Lord, that they'll come in faith, believing, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that you're going to touch each other. Thank you, Lord, that you're already here by the power of your Holy Spirit already, that you're touching each one now. So, Father, as we just come now, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we give with open hearts to you. And thank you for your blessing and for your grace upon our lives. Lord, and we want to declare our dependency for you, Lord, that we are totally dependent upon you, Lord. That's really what we're saying, Lord. Lord, everything we have, everything that we are comes from you. And, Lord, we want to lay ourselves fresh before you. And Lord, just that every plan and purpose of yours will be fulfilled in our own heart, in our family, Lord, in the community, Lord, in our church family, Father. And so, Lord, we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.